grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the more channels I seem to pick up on my TV, the less and less there is that seems to be worthy of watching. I have so many channels now, I can't even channel surf anymore. They've literally taken that joy away from me. Because you can start out at zero and you get tired of flicking the button by the time you get to a couple of hundred, and still, there's nothing on. I have four streaming services, as far as I can tell. I generally don't know what I'm going to watch. I usually just leave it up to Stephanie to figure it out. She does a really good job of it. Stephanie's sort of like a divining rod for good old movies. Cold Daughters Minor, notwithstanding. We watched a little bit of Dirty Dancing yesterday before my brother went, bah! I was like, yeah, whatever. It is interesting, though, to watch old movies. Even it's almost like time traveling, right? You watch a movie from the 80s or even the 70s, and it's weird to see teenagers because they all look like they're 25. They probably are 25, by the way. They're probably 25-year-old actors who are playing little roles. But they also look so much older because they're dressed up, which is just like a countercultural thing. You see these kids in the 70s or the 80s in the 80s movies, and they're going to school in pants and jackets and ties. And you're like, did we used to do that? Like, really? I mean, how many ties do we have here today? None. None. Not a single tie in the room. I mean, it's almost like a bygone era where the tie in 15 more years may be something archaic that nobody has anymore. The world, she is a-changing. And a lot of people would expect the Bible would have a hard time keeping up. I mean, after all, the New Testament's almost 2,000 years old. The Old Testament, depending on which book you're talking about and how you number it and what your opinion is, as much as 5,000 years old. Many people would say the Bible is hopelessly outdated, especially people who don't read it, people that don't know it, people that don't use it. They sort of look at this old book and go, oh, it is so old, it's hopelessly outdated, there's no way this old book has any relevance unto our society today. And to be sure, the Bible, access to the Bible story sometimes has a gap. I mean, the Old Testament and the New Testament is heavily agricultural, which gives us a little bit of access distance, because I don't know about you, the closest thing I grow are dandelions. And I grow them very well, by the way. But that's about it. There's a lot of Middle Eastern customs, a lot of things that we may or may not understand. But today we grapple with Good Shepherd Sunday. And this is our reading. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. And then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Now, I have to admit, I don't know anything about sheep herding. But I do know about owning things. And I do know that people who own things take better care of those things than people who don't own the things. If you don't own it, you don't care anything about it. You don't take very good care of it. You don't respect it. The illustration is ancient, completely removed from our own culture. But the truth transcends culture, transcends time, and it touches our heart. It touches a cultural nerve. Because we are sheep. And as sheep, we need things. And we know we need things. Right? We need to be loved. We need to be cared for. We need to be rescued. We need community. Interesting, one of the greatest needs of mankind, one of the greatest things that people complain about today is a lack of community. Guess where God has provided community? for all of mankind. Sociologist Ray Olenberg coined the term third place. He uses it to describe the place where people can spend time between their first place, which is their home, their second place, which is their work. Third places are often public settings for informal gatherings. They're places where people can exchange ideas and build relationships and have fun. They also provide a sense of identity. It helps people to feel recognized. It helps us to feel psychologically supported in our well-being. Places like libraries, coffee shops, book clubs, playgrounds, Alcoholics Anonymous, or any other sort of recovery or support group. Bars, brew pubs, breweries, gyms, yoga studios, dog parks, recreational centers, all of these places serve as third places and can be important to help people to feel like they belong, like they have a purpose beyond just home and work. A place where they can decompress. A small reprieve from the pressure of work, home, life. Spending regular time in a third place can provide social interaction and acceptance, mental and spiritual and physical health. Which is why the picture of the caring shepherd for his flock is so very and utterly important. We as sheep, having been rescued from the wolves, having been rescued from our fear and our guilt and our shame, rescued from sin and death and hell and despair, our good shepherd has laid down his life for his friends, and even though we don't talk about shepherding very much, and I have to admit, I don't know that much about shepherding sheep, we do know about being sheep. We know about the concept. And this picture of our Lord Jesus is very good for us. A shepherd who has unselfishly in his love, which has been founded upon the essence of grace of the Lord God Almighty, who cares for and loves his creation, which he created, which he owns. You're a part of that creation. And he loves it, and he loves you. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, says Romans, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, although a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. Now, I'd feel remiss if I didn't remind you that sheep are some of the dumbest creatures of all of God's creation. This is why pastors love Good Shepherd Sunday so very much, because you are sheep and we get to call you. Never mind. Most of the time, the Bible portrays sheep as either lost, wandering, straying, or wayward. I have to remind myself of that. Especially when we're out in our third places. When we're out at public, maybe if you're at work, out there and look at the people who are around us and go, wow, what a poor lost sheep. Big old stupid fluffy animal. Just milling about, doing the best it can. Wayward and struggling with it, like sheep without a shepherd. Quite utterly hopeless. Out there in the wild, prey to every wind of doctrine and fad that Satan can throw at it, under all kinds of attacks and under incredible pressure. To try to find mental and physical and wellness and stability and community and acceptance and love and all the things that sheep need in order to be successful. We have so few of those many needs. People not only need to be loved and cared for, but rescued from peril so that they have a deep-seated need for community. Community is a fine support and love and a witness for those around us. And we find that meaning. We find that meaning here, being served and loved as we witness to those around us. This service and support is founded in a community of the baptized church. In fact, The church is one of the few communities in society left today where we offer a full range of support, mental, physical, and spiritual. Those kinds of support and purpose need to be found by people. The church is probably the only community left in America with a whole assembly of people. We have a whole slew of people, all kinds of different people. We have young and old, and not just young and old, but we have very, very young and very, very old. We have rich, poor, all races are welcomed here. We meet weekly. Lots of times we meet more than weekly. Pretty much the church is open for business 20 hours a week at least, various Bible classes and things that meet. What makes the church such a successful community is that it's bound by a shepherd who has bound himself unto us. And so we respond purposefully to come to the place where he's called us to be, to listen to his voice, participate in his sacraments as he has called us to do, in which he promises to strengthen us both physically and spiritually and mentally and give us all the things that we need for this body and life. And yes, we live in a very different world from those nomadic shepherds in the Near East. But somehow this picture of the Good Shepherd still makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because it speaks to our heart. We need love and hope and rescue and support. And the Lord God provides it. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, Jesus says, "The stone that you builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." In Jesus' name.